Sometimes in life, your passions can evolve into not only a career, but also change an entire culture. In the case of Mike Walbert, his first trip to South by Southwest sparked an idea that would change the trajectory of a city's staple event.
But in 2009, I think, did my first trip to South by Southwest, and that's when I met Brian Knott, who had started A3C, which was just a really a three-day showcase with maybe like 50, 60 artists. And I was like, a mutual friend connected us, and I was like, let me do a show next year. Let me do our show this year. Because I think there's something that we should do. Like, this is Atlanta. Like, I just got geeked off that trip to South by Southwest. And I was like, man, like, you know, we drove two 15-passenger vans with, you know, the artists I was managing and a few other artists, friends of ours, and, you know, did a showcase called We Put the A in Austin. And we did the show. It was cool, you know. Not a great crowd. It was midday, off 6th Street. And I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, the fact that people are coming to Austin, Texas to, like, showcase hip-hop artists from Atlanta. Like, I was like, people should be coming to Atlanta to showcase hip-hop artists from Kansas City. So that tripped me up. And then on the 16-hour car ride back, I was just, like, kind of, like, just stewing. And like, that's when this really started.
Also on this week's episode, we discuss how to pave your own path, master time management, and investing into your own backyard. And now, episode 17 of Culturation.
Good evening, my fellow citizens.
Are you ready? The main event of the evening.
The ideas.
It's the word that you put in.
The ability.
Can you dig it?
The talent.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
Those who influence, the entertainer, the business leader, and the entrepreneur, they're all right here on Culturation. And now, your host, Justin Epstein.
Welcome to Culturation. I'm your host, Justin Epstein. On this week's episode, we speak with the cultural curator, Mike Walbert. Mike is the executive director and co-owner of the A3C Festival and Conference. As a partner in the business, Mike oversees various aspects, including business development, sponsorship, branding, and marketing. Mike has managed the strategy and team that has grown A3C from a regional showcase to an internationally recognized institution in hip-hop culture. With that being said, I would like to welcome my good friend, Mike Walbert, to the show today. Mike, thanks for stopping by, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who may not know you in Atlanta or beyond, kind of give a quick little rundown of who you are and kind of what you currently do.
Yeah. So for the last, man, it's going to sound crazy, last 10 plus years, I've been working in the music business in Atlanta. I see it as an entrepreneurship, right? Because I've done a lot of different things. I've been an artist manager. I started a music production company with some friends. And then 10 plus years ago, got involved in A3C and have been focused on building that brand, building that company and that experience. Now a partner in the business, recently brought on a couple new partners, but I'm the managing director of A3C.
Okay, cool. And music, it seems like it's kind of been your lifeline at
100%.
This point. So let's kind of take it back a little bit. Where did you grow up? You know, when did music start coming into play for you?
Yeah, so grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, shit, you're actually from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Well, man, that's rare.
I know, man. Nah, it's great. I love it. It's funny because I feel like a lot of, like, Atlantans who grew up in Atlanta are kind of like, yo, we're old school, we get this. And I'm like, yo, I appreciate everyone coming to Atlanta, like, making the city dope as fuck. That's what makes Atlanta special, is really, like, man, all these different brands and people and just backgrounds and stories coming to Atlanta and, like, making the city kind of what it is. But yeah, my pops moved here in like early 60s, maybe late mid 60s, to be a civil rights lawyer. Like,
okay, very
yeah,
cool.
From the West Coast, just wanted to, like, he's like, yo, where can I go and, like, make a change?
Yeah.
So, me and my two brothers grew up in Atlanta. I went to college out on the West Coast, went to USC, loved it, had a great time, studied business and entrepreneurship out there. So, even though I'm in the music business and entertainment, I really look at it through an entrepreneurship lens. I love building companies. I love building brands. And what I love about what I do now is I just get to be creative. I get to think of cool ideas and concepts and experiences. I get to help young entrepreneurs constantly. Like, that's a through line through everything I do. Is artists are entrepreneurs, right? Music is probably one of the most creative and disruptive spaces you can think of. And being in that environment, being in that community is really exciting.
Do you think, you know, you just kind of disruptive, right? Do you think kind of watching your father growing up and being in civil rights and things along those lines and kind of shaking it up put you in a direction where you wanted to find a disruptive industry to some sort of regard?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably, you know, growing up and seeing my dad just bust ass and being an entrepreneur is something that I think rubbed off on his kids for sure. You know, and just being like, you know, we grew up with Ray Charles and James Brown and the tape deck at all times. And
yeah.
So I grew up appreciating music and loving music. Again, I don't think even after college I thought I would get into music. I knew I would just start some businesses.
Yeah, entrepreneurial.
Yeah, no, and music wasn't the first stab, right? Like, I actually started a couple of small businesses before I got into music. So I started a hot sauce company called Hotline Hot Sauce, which is still on tables in Atlanta. And you can get it in, you know, a bunch of different kind of specialty stores and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I was helping a couple other people launch companies and businesses. So I got a reputation for, like, through my high school friends. Like, yo, Mike.
Mike's the guy that takes your company, helps you, and gets it on into market.
So my two buddies from high school were music producers and really wanted to start a company. So, like, you know, took me out to lunch at Chick-fil-A. And we fucking
did they carry the hot sauce there? They should have.
That was the goal, though. That was definitely the goal. And then we literally at that lunch, we started a music production company called SMK. We didn't have a name at the time, but would be called SMK. And that's what got me into music. That was like the first, you know. And at the time, it was just literally a little bit of my life. I still was spending a lot of my time actually doing the hot sauce and consulting and doing other things. And, you know, you kind of see it year over year where it's like, oh, this is now, I'm spending a lot more time in music and I'm enjoying it. I see a lot of opportunities there. So it just slowly became, everything.
So I have to ask, what made you get into the hot sauce business?
Yo, it's going to sound crazy. I didn't like hot sauce.
Are you serious?
Didn't like hot sauce.
I put hot sauce on everything.
So I've changed a lot. But at the time, it wasn't like, yo, I love hot sauce. I have a passion for hot sauce. I literally just I love exploring businesses. So, and industries and opportunities. So that's kind of like where my interest and specialty is. But when I really graduated from college, I was a marketing director at a small snack foods company. So I got to see this, you know, specialty store world and food world. So again, a buddy came up to me. He's like, yo, I really want to start a business. And I was like, you know what's crazy is like there's Louisiana hot sauce, there's Texas Pete. And I was like, yo, but like there's no Georgia or like Atlanta hot sauce. And at the time, this was 10 plus years ago, like Hotlanta was still a term people were saying quite a bit.
Now you're like shunned for that.
Yeah,
term,
no, yeah. Right. You're not going to say in public, but it makes perfect sense for a hot sauce.
And from a branding standpoint, it's phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah.
You got this immediate brand equity.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, let's go to the shelves right now and see what's on there. So we probably drove around like 6-7 stores that day. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like this is definitely something we could do. Went online, spent a few months researching, started LLC, and then got a co-packer, a bottling company, everything. Like, oh, now we really spent six months working on a recipe.
Yeah.
So we brought in a friend of ours who's like a chef, and we did test barbecues and all these things where we kind of like, we're like, yo, it's between these two. We're like, can we combine them? And what made it special was we had Georgia, Vidalia onions, peaches. So there's like a sweet heat to it.
Yeah.
Habanero. And we were going after the consistency of Cholula, which was our favorite.
It's the best.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just hands down the best. So we're like, yo, we want the consistency and heat of Cholula. Let's bring in some sweet with, and at the time, there was nothing like that on the shelves. It's crazy.
Yeah, there was no Hot Ones episodes at this point.
Nah, man.
All this trend. Right. You were ahead of the curve on this
one.
Dude,
I mean, again, hot sauce has been, it's such a, it's a food product that is, people are passionate about.
Yeah.
And that we saw them instantly. So what we did to get the hot sauce out there was we would go to every festival and set up a 10x10. And we'd sell out.
Yeah.
We're like, you know,
it's crazy.
Where else can I get this? And we're like, nowhere else right now, online. So we started doing online stores and people were buying them for like graduation gifts and wedding presents. And, you know, because people want to find like, some, you know, meaningful gift and people are passionate about hot sauce. And this was kind of like something new on the market. So that was fun, man.
Yeah. So, you know what I find interesting though? People always say about businesses, like whether it be music or hot sauce, like, I don't know the business. I don't have any, you know, I can't get in. I don't have the money. I don't have the experience. but it's kind of bullshit when you think about it, right? If you want to do something, it sounds like you just figured it out as you kind of went through the, you're like, okay, I know a boy that's a chef, a friend of mine.
100%.
You know, I'll figure this out. I'm going to test market this.
Bro, 100%. If anything, I think that's what I got from college was like, once a week an entrepreneur would show up in class and tell us their story. And then after like a semester of that, you're like, oh shit, everyone's kind of just fucking bumbling around.
Yeah.
Like, right, trying to figure it out and had an aha moment and made mistakes and lost money here and did this. And you just get confidence of like, okay, I'm just going to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Like, that was my biggest takeaway from college, the entrepreneurship school. So yeah, man, we probably invested like $5,000 to get a hot sauce company off the ground. Right.
Which,
like,
people think would cost hundreds of thousands, right, like, millions of dollars.
And yeah, and it's just like, we did it in our spare time at the time.
Yeah.
Found a co-packing place, like, find the laws, like, just do research. I mean, everything's online, man. Like,
yeah, in this day and age, there's no excuse anymore.
There really isn't, man. Like, and then, you know, like, also just growing up in Atlanta, we're blessed to know a lot of people. So I actually, you know, through friends of friends, met a few other people that became our mentors that were in the sauce business, right? Yeah. And not competitors. When we're doing hot sauce, they were doing just, you know, different, like, sauces and soy sauces and stuff. But, like, you could pick their brain, like, you know, what do we need to look out for and things like that.
You know, so with college, I don't even think my college had an entrepreneurship program.
No, but I'll tell you, one of the few.
It blows my mind because I'm not a huge fan of college. And I'll tell you.
Come on, say this.
No, I'll tell you. I am in the regard that I think it's wonderful from social. I think it's wonderful from if you know what you want to do. If you're specializing in law, doctor, 100%. Things along those lines. But 95% of kids that go have no idea what they want to do. They waste the first 2 years going through prereqs like anthropology. And nothing, not knocking anthropology, but this is probably not going to be your career. I think starting kids in entrepreneurship programs, A, would build their confidence. Because like you said, you see the shit is not that easy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole point of why I started Culturation, was like to set realistic expectations so people could see people like yourself that have become successful. It didn't just happen overnight.
100%, man. I also think that entrepreneurship is, even if you're not going to start your own business, I think learning the tools that entrepreneurs have within your own company brings so much value to the company, right? Like, we talk about entrepreneurs too, right? Someone that can see an idea and then take it from concept to delivery is such an important thing. And I think a lot of people get just tripped up on some really simple stuff that you can learn pretty basic.
Yeah. So the hot sauce company, you did that. How long did that process kind of last? When did you start to decide, okay, I'm going to try something else or expand my kind of consulting and business ideas? And
yeah, it was never a full-time job. Did it for probably 2 years and then sold. I'm still a minority stakeholder in the company, but, like, you know, let my partner run that. I was, again, doing some consulting at the time with a few other just good friends of mine and people in my network, trying to start companies and working on some things. But in 2009, I think, did my first trip to South by Southwest. And that's when I met Brian Knott, who had started A3C, which was just a 3-day showcase with maybe like 50, 60 artists. And I was like, a mutual friend connected us, and I was like, let me do a show next year. Let me do our show this year. Cause I think there's something that we should do. Like, this is Atlanta. Like, I just got geeked off that trip to South by Southwest. And I was like, man, like, you know, we drove, 2 15 passenger vans with, you know, the artists I was managing and a few other artists, friends of ours. And, you know, did a showcase called We Put the A in Austin, and we did the show. It was cool. You know, not a great crowd. It was midday off 6th Street. And I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, the fact that people are coming to Austin, Texas to, like, showcase hip-hop artists from Atlanta. Like, I was like, people should be coming to Atlanta to showcase hip-hop artists from Kansas City. So that tripped me up. And then on the 16-hour car ride back, I was just, like, kind of, like, just stewing. And that's when this really started.
So when you get ideas, it seems like you kind of sit on them and they kind of don't go away from you.
For sure.
And then how long does it usually take before you say, all right, I can't, I have to do this now?
It's the research and the deep dive that you do. Like, yeah. I mean, I go back and I research South by Southwest and how big's the business and what's the history and how did it start. I start looking at other conferences. Like, I like to know what I'm getting into. So I do like to learn a lot about the industry and you know, South by, or again, A3C, was, I would do it for a couple months a year for the first couple of years. You know, it wasn't a full-time gig. Like I was, you know, I was working with Brian and a couple of guys, Andy and Andy. And for all of us, it was just like, hey, let's just do this. We'd start booking it, marketing it 3-4 months out. And, you know, and then really after doing that for 2 or 3 years, we had grown it so quickly. In 2012, there was like 500 artists and like thousands of people coming. And I was like, guys, this is really big. Like,
yeah.
This is way bigger than it was a year ago even. And there's a lot of opportunities. Like my inbox is full.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm like, we have no office. We're not doing this. So I think it was 2012 when we actually got like office space.
Yeah.
And brought in a team. Yeah.
So when you're going through it, and I hear this from people like yourself and other entrepreneurs, you don't even know it's happening when it's happening because you're so focused on just kind of delivering and making shit happen. You're enjoying it, right? So
yeah.
And then you look back and you're like, what the hell? We're 500 artists. We're looking for office space now. Like, do you think too many people look at, like, instead of focusing on day, like every day focusing on that task at hand, they're so far removed that they're not actually executing?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, right? Because there's short-term, long-term. Because
yeah.
The flip side of that, you can be too. Like, I find myself too in the sand sometime where I'm like, I'm working so much on the business.
Yeah.
I'm working for the business, not on the business, right? So you got to find that balance of, like, what is long-term strategy? Like, what are we doing in the grand scheme of things? And then there's, yeah, like, we got to get shit done. And, like, just handling the task for the day. And that's honestly, I think, one also the biggest... the biggest issue for entrepreneurs is time and time management.
100%.
I believe that 100%. Fully is not understanding how much time something takes. So it's like, hey, I want to do this business. I'm like, cool. You know, that is going to take you a lot of time. So you're talking about doing this from like after work. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's not, you need to go full in or not do it. Or you can start this slowly over 3 years and do it part time. But
you got to expect results that are going to take
yes,
3 years. Yeah.
You're not going to, you know, a lot of jobs, like the reason things take off is the amount of people time that is invested in those things.
Yeah. So, you know, when people may look at you or any entrepreneur, they're saying he's taking a risk. You're more calculated though. Like you're doing the research, you're understanding the marketplace, you're seeing if there's a void. How deep of a dive are you doing before you actually get involved?
I mean, there's still, everything's a risk.
100%.
Right? I mean, like that's the thing. Like I'd like to think that I see all the angles, but nah, man, like if anything, it's an opportunity. I say this in the best way possible. Like I've been very much an opportunist because A3C every year, like we get 5 days to reflect on it. But people are constantly hitting us up for like cool ideas and things that's happening. So like part of my job is funneling and filtering out like what is the best stuff we should be doing.
Yeah.
Shout out to the podcast name, but like we try to curate the stuff that happens here, not necessarily dictate and produce it. And taking, you know, elements of everything else going on. So, but like to your question of the risk, I think like we've made tons of mistakes along the way, right? Like, and even to this day, like, I would say every year an annual business like myself that we do, every year is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
I mean, every single year you're going and reinvesting, right? You're kind of reinvesting this, a new budget, a new thing on this experience that you hope works out. So that's why you see festivals come and go and experiences come and go because trends change and experiences change and people expect different things of experience. And, you know, that's what I try to become a steward of is like understanding our community, the folks that come to A3C, what they expect, the speakers, the artists, the larger community at hand, and how can we give them a value? Really, now it's about giving them value, not just fun and an experience, but like, they left with a new connection. They learned something really important. They saw something. They connected with the brand. Like all these things, I think, are what now, when people think about A3C, really, really appreciate is the connections they make and what they've kind of taken away from those experiences.
So do you think with A3C, it was community and consumer first, brand second? Was it a balance of? Because the thing that is interesting, you said people are always hitting you with ideas. What's amazing is to build a product, a service, or a festival where people are passionately invested into you now. Like, how can I help this become right. better? That's a special thing.
Yeah, blessed. I mean, I'll say like that's, you know, this festival and conference when we were first starting for the most part was run off of like just people wanting to be involved and working, you know, like overworking, underpaid, myself, I mean, everyone, right? Like partners, team, everyone was just like, yo, I want to be a part of this. Like, we understand what you're trying to do. Like, but yeah, no, I think that's putting people first. I think there's always been a genuine passion. Like, this hasn't been about, you know, trying to IPO or build this company that, you know, like, even the new partnership we did is a strategic partnership with two great guys in Atlanta that understand community and want to help build an experience in Atlanta that means something for people. So that, I think that that has come across.
Yeah.
And that's why people, I think, want to be a part of this, right?
So do you think for ideas, community in your backyard is the best place to typically start?
Always, right?
Because, I mean, this is now a couple products or a couple different ventures, more than a couple, but Atlanta's always been the focus, right?
100%.
And I think a lot of times we don't invest. We want to be in New York or LA or here or there, but we have so much opportunity right now. And what's crazy is, you know, I've been in Atlanta now, let's say 13 years. When I came to Atlanta, Atlanta wasn't where everybody was like, Atlanta's the hottest thing out. You were saying Atlanta was the shit,
right?
Back when everybody was like New York, West Coast, this. Now everybody's on the ATL tip. They're like, oh, Atlanta's the coolest, movies, film, which, look, I'm super happy and stoked. Right. You know, can we keep it and retain it? We have for a long time, but this is not going anywhere. Atlanta's a special place.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think a lot of what I've been doing the last 10 years is selling Atlanta. Like, whether it's an artist performing here, a speaker coming here, a brand investing in us, it's kind of like, yo, you need to be in Atlanta. Like, you need to have a performance in Atlanta. You need to speak in Atlanta. You need to connect with the Atlanta community. So, yeah, man. And again, it's changed so much over the last, like, to your point. Like, I've been on the front lines, like, having those conversations. Like, and I've seen it, like, where, especially, you know, artists, like, they want to come to Atlanta. They need to have an Atlanta presence. Like, Atlanta needs to be a part of their story. So it's made my job a lot easier, right? I'm receiving a lot more phone calls than I'm making now.
I'm sure, yeah.
But I've seen, I mean, you and I have both been on the front lines of that and seen the change and evolution of the city. And I'm shit myself for, you know, 30-something years, right? So. Yeah.
What makes you think Atlanta's so special?
I mean, I don't think there's a silver bullet, right? Yeah. I think it's probably a false flag when people are like, it's this one thing. Because I do have friends in a bunch of different industries that just, like, don't know anything about what I'm talking about sometimes. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, what makes it special for you? So I understand there are different pockets that appreciate it in different ways. I will say, and we spoke on this earlier, and I think this is a core fundamental point of what makes Atlanta different and special is the melting pot of cultures and communities that have come here really recently to be a part of the story.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, under that there has been, you know, some of the numbers don't back this up because I think about, like, you know, all the issues with Atlanta about, like, income inequality and diversity and opportunity, but I do think Atlanta is a city where entrepreneurs and people can make their name and make a business and start something. And in New York and LA and Chicago, that seems so daunting. I don't know, but it just feels like you can really make something quick here.
I would agree. Yeah. I think Atlanta, I tell people all the time, I don't think I could have done what I did in Atlanta, in LA or New York.
No.
Not to say I couldn't have eventually had success in some format, but I don't think I could have made as much of an impact, did it as quickly, and actually affected people in a way that, like, people genuinely care here. And I think Atlanta is super, I mean, we have clients or friends or people come through all the time that travel the world and they're like, I freaking love your city.
Yeah.
Like, the hospitality is amazing. The food's amazing. The culture's amazing. And people don't treat people differently. I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. New York or LA, once again, I'm originally from New York. People, you go out, it's like, who are you?
I agree, man.
Atlanta, they don't give a shit. If you're good people, if you have a good vibe, they're like, hey, let's kick it.
Having lived in LA for 4 years, that was the one thing that really irked me. It's just like, constantly asking, like, who is going to be there or who is this person? And I'm like, yo, what? Like, it was so front and center.
Yeah.
It seemed so toxic, really. And I was like, how are you building relationships out here? Like, what is it? Every relationship based on out here? Is it based
on? What can you do for me?
100%. Yeah. And I'm like, then as soon as that person can do something for you, then the relationship's over. And I'm like, yo, it's bad for, you know, the city culture and the community. Yeah. I think also, man, like, for, you know, the world I live in musically, and that, so I also talk about this through the music lenses, and that's why I think the music is so special. Because when I talk about Atlanta, what makes it special, I often talk about you know, hip hop, because this has been the Atlanta story. And when you think about Atlanta, and you talk about Atlanta from around the country, around the world, really, people look at it as the hip hop capital.
Yeah.
And that has been a driving force culturally. And I think a lot of that comes with a lot of these artists are moving from the Southeast. They're coming in from all over, and they're bringing that musical, you know, what their father listened to, what their mother listened to growing up, just different stuff and energy. And then affordability, man, like people can live and make music here without having to, like, you know.
Yeah. The cost of living. I mean, that's the simplest thing. But, you know, talking about the music, like even when you look at Atlanta music versus other cities years ago,
yeah.
It's always been a very community supportive environment. Whether you look at everything from the Dungeon Family to looking at, you know, Goody Mobs and all these different groups, everybody always worked together here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been times where it wasn't, but if you're looking at a city that's kind of worked, the only group that you ever saw really coming out of New York that was like kicking it together was like a Wu-Tang, let's say.
Yeah.
Right? But when you look at it, nobody was really supporting each other the way like Atlanta supported each other, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are examples of that in every city.
Yeah.
I do feel that way. Like, yeah, and I think, you know, I say this though also, like I think Atlanta has similar problems other cities have.
Yeah.
Because I think that sometimes it's like, oh man, because I hear the same thing. I hear, man, I wish Atlanta was more connected. Like blank, and I'm like, no, like people are busy, man. Like people are in their, like, you know, your circles and squares, and there's like social, like,
yeah,
you know, we talk about anthropology, yeah, but like you can really actually only have this many people in your community. So there is, like, you know, and we'll see it in music, like folks like 2-9 or these kind of groups that come up, and it's like these are just my friends and my family that connect. And it's not exactly a shut door.
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe the thing. It's not like, yo,
Yeah, there's actually a chance in Atlanta. Like, I feel since the day I moved to Atlanta, if there was a person I wanted to meet, yes, I would meet them.
Yeah.
And it's not in a way where it's like I'm meeting them because I'm trying to get something from you. I just want to meet you because I find you very interesting.
Yeah.
And nobody looks at you like you're crazy. They're like, all right, cool. Yeah, let's talk. And it doesn't have to ever develop into business. And I would say most of my people that I've met over the years, I've never done a single piece of business with. But I never wanted to.
Yeah.
It never was like what your value was to me.
100%. Yeah. No, I think that's, I mean, music, you do see a ton of collaboration.
Yeah.
Right? Artists.
Atlanta, man. Everybody's got Atlanta artists these days.
And it's putting each other on, man. Like, you know, if someone come up and coming, you know, the hot artist, you usually find the next hot artist because there's a big feature from that artist.
Yeah.
Like it's this kind of community where it's like, yeah, man, I'll get on your record. You get on my record. Producer, you know, I need a beat for this. Like, you do see a lot of that, which is cool.
Yeah.
I think that's dope.
So then 2012, you're starting to see this thing kind of blow up. You're getting your first office. Where do you guys go from there?
I mean, there it's experimenting every year, man. Like, again, we're seeing rapid growth at this time. We're probably growing like 100% a year every year. So it's just building out teams and operations and structures and bringing people on and slowly going from like myself as the only full-time person to, you know, 2015, two other full-time people, you know, partnership team, production teams. I think it really, you know, in that time, there's a lot of trial period. Like, we tried things for the first time. I mean, 2012 was probably our first outdoor festival. Like, between the, you know, the time of 2005, I think, till 2012, it was just shows and venues. So our first festival outdoor experience was in Old Fourth Ward, and that was 2012. Learned a lot. And then we also did, I think, our first like actual conference in 2013, I think we changed the name from A3Z Festival to A3Z Festival Conference, seeing this kind of, because again, before that, we were all just a bunch of shows, hundreds and hundreds of artists over 3 days. And, you know, there's a, you know, shout out to Tom White, literally like just a, you know, intern or some guy that was on our team, Tom White, really, really good guy, was like, yo, I want to do a panel in the morning. And it's like 2000, maybe 11, 12. I want to do a panel in the morning before one of the shows kicks off. And we're like, what? Sure, whatever. Like, you know, as long as it doesn't affect the show. And at 11 a.m., the room is packed with artists and producers. And to me, that was like just another aha moment, or like, okay, these artists are coming from everywhere and they want to perform, but they really are hungry for knowledge. They're hungry to connect. And, you know, a room that's more packed at 11 a.m. than it would be 11 p.m. when the show is actually going on. I was like, okay. So that was when we were like really not shifted and pivoted, but a strong focus on, we are going to be an event where not only are artists coming to perform and be discovered, but they're going to also come and learn and connect and walk away with really valuable information. And that's when we went from one panel in 2012, maybe 2011, to a actual multi-day conference with maybe 50, 100 speakers and like that.
And for people that may not be familiar with A3C, kind of give a general overview, like what it had, what it was, and what it's kind of become.
So, again, day one, it was a three-day showcase with 10 artists a day at the Loft.
Wow, right at the Loft. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, down the street from you guys. And then, you know, so that was day one when I got involved in 2009. So we'll kind of skip around a little bit. We probably had, 120 artists over 3 days, still maybe five or six venues, mostly East Atlanta Village. So really small cap venues at the time. Our biggest venue was like 700. It was like the Ice House that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And then, you know, again, another big year, maybe 2013, we had gone into this festival conference where we had a three-day festival, three-day conference. Conference was probably a couple hundred speakers. And then at that time, we probably were like up to 1,000 performing artists.
Wow. That's a lot of artists.
It's crazy, man.
It's a lot of artist management.
Yeah. So it's like the cool thing about what we do is we're not booking 1,000 artists, right? Like I'm not going around like, y'all, these are my favorite 1,000 artists. We're picking curators and we're listening to showcase curation and we're listening to thousands of artist submissions a year. And so we've kind of like put together like just a system for curating it. And there's some curators that have been with us, like, you know, they've been with us for 6-7 years now.
Yeah.
Doing a, you know, dope show and really just like some regional shows. Like, y'all want to bring up and coming artists from Philly every year. I'm like, dope. That's awesome. Like, we need that flavor here. Like, we need Philly here. We need Chicago here. We need Boston here. We need all these other like, you know, creative cities that are coming to Atlanta. So, you know, and then from there, it's been, you know, Toronto and Canada and South Africa and, you know, Singapore. Like, you know, there's been like showcases from everywhere. So today, if you look at it, it's, you know, this year we're changing things up a little bit because we are actually getting away from the outdoor festival experience. And that was a big decision, again, kind of looking at where we want to be in a few years from now. But we're like, yo, the conference is still in its infancy. And we think we can really grow that quickly. So we're moving into a space that's like 3 or 4 times as big. And we're investing in speakers and production and experience for the conference. And taking the energy and effort it takes to produce an outdoor festival. And then taking over some of the larger premier venues in Atlanta. So Tabernacle, Center Stage, Friday Playhouse. And then again, our other 15, 20 venues that we activate in. And producing amazing experiences and thematic things that happen in those venues. So that's kind of the evolution of what we've been doing and what we're trying to do. I think at the end of the day, we want people to come to Atlanta and experience the food, the music, the culture. We want them to connect with people. We want them to learn something. We want them to be inspired. And then, you know, take that energy and, you know, from wherever they came. I think about 50% of the people come to A3C are from outside of Georgia.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So you've had a lot of success with the growth of it. Do you remember a particular time when you were like during this tenure where you're like, oh shit, I don't know, we're gonna make it, or something went down where you're like, this was like the breaking, like I'm either gonna make it or not at this point?
All the time.
Yeah,
every year. No, I think that's the stress of an event like this is the constant clock that you're working on. But yeah, man, like every year you don't know if it's the year people don't show up or don't like it, like, you know, like you, this, you know, it, that's the, is it gonna, is there a tropical storm? I mean, yeah, I can't tell you how often, like, you know, things shut down because of weather. And again, that was one of the reasons, like outdoor festival. I'll say there's a number of reasons we moved away from outdoor festival. One, we felt like when we first started doing it, 2012 wasn't too long ago, but it was exciting space and people were kind of like looking for outdoor festivals and experiences. Now I feel like that's such a saturated event and space and there are tons of people doing it really, really well that I was like, well, is that our differentiator anymore, right? Is that what people are coming to Atlanta for? And is that what we want people to think of when they think of A3C as an outdoor festival? And the answer was no to all of the above, right? That's not what makes us different. That's not what makes us special. That's not where our heart energy is. And that's not what people are going to leave Atlanta being like, yo, I went to A3C and saw this outdoor festival.
Yeah.
I would much rather him say, yeah, I saw Gucci Man perform at a Thousand Cat venue.
Yeah, 100%.
Or Snoop Dogg at, like, you know, this private show. Like, that's what to me is, like, I left Atlanta and, like, I met some crazy people, learned some really dope stuff, and then saw this wild thing happen at this small venue.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so do you think, you know, a lot of times people in businesses want to, they always say, I want to be like this, or I want to, you know, I like that brand or this business, instead of focusing on, like, this is, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you've always been like, I don't want to be like this or this or this. I want to be like, this is what we do.
Try to, man. I mean, you obviously look at, I continue to do research. So, like, in November, you know, November, December every year, kind of in a downtime, I try to look at as much as I can what happened. And I try to, like, you know, whether it's through surveys or just talking to people, like, what was your experience like? Because I'm not everywhere at once.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, I'm hearing from a lot of people that, like, panels were all, like, you know, like, or this one experience was awesome. So what about that was awesome? And how do we elevate that? And what do we take from that? And, you know, no one's talking about X, Y, and Z. So is that, does that mean it didn't do well? And then I try to do research. Like, what, why, you know, hey, our team and people that were there and artists and managers. So I really do try to talk to as many people as I can. And then, yeah, always looking at what's happening in the world. Like, you can't be void. Like, A3C doesn't happen in a bubble. It happens in context with everything else happening in Atlanta. So we have to know what everyone else is doing. We have to know what conferences are doing, what festivals are doing. Obviously, with South by Southwest, and used to be CMJ. But, yeah, man, I love to know. And I love to know what folks are doing in the creative space.
Yeah.
As inspiration, but... you know, where are trends going?
Do you think that research, though, preparation and kind of that hunger for knowledge is what has kept you guys ahead of the curve?
Part of it, yeah. Part of it, yeah. I mean, you know, there's not one factor, but I think that's definitely been something. Like, I mean, hopefully you don't ever come to A3C and be like, oh, we did that last year.
Yeah.
Like, we really are trying to, like, improve every year.
I mean, you guys are a massive festival and conference. And by that, I mean, people do outdoor festivals where there may be 50, 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Fine, right? But they're confined into a dedicated space in some regard.
Yeah.
You're activating throughout an entire city with music, education, technology. It's not just like a turnkey operation.
No. Yeah.
So there's a lot of moving parts. And to keep that quality without sacrificing it is pretty impressive, because this is going to be, what, year 15?
Year 15.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, and again, like, nothing, like, not everything's perfect, but it's the desire to improve, it's the desire to learn from our mistakes and our experiences. Like, we definitely have tried things. I'll give an example, like, 2000, maybe 13, again, maybe trying to be too much of something else, but we tried to launch, like, A3C fashion, A3C music, A3C style, like, film, and we tried to be too much at once. We tried that for 1 year, and it was just, you know, like, okay, cool, let's just go back. Like, what I did some, like, first, like, some brand workshops and stuff, and, like, self, like, through my, like, just like, yo, like, we got to refine our brand and what, who we are to people. I was talking to people, and I went back and I was like, we aren't filmed to be everyone yet. Like, we don't need to be filmed. We're not style yet. We are a music community, so let's focus on that, and then let's get that big enough to where we can throw some tentacles where, like, how does film relate to the music business? How does style and fashion relate to the music business?
Yeah.
But it really, we refocused in 2014.
How did you build that, I guess, that confidence or that awareness to pull back, right? Because a lot of times people, they want to start doing all these things, right? And it distracts them, but they don't want to stop it because, A, ego gets in the way, and they don't want to see it as a failure.
Sure.
Or they don't want to. What made you say, okay, we tried it, I'm happy that we did, but now we're going to pull back?
You gotta be flexible, and you gotta listen to all the signs, man. Whether it's financial, like, yo, that was, you know, we invested in something that didn't pay back, but, well, we'll do it again. We can do it better and change it, or just listening to people around you. Like, I think, like, I've tried to, when and where I can, just, like, be as receptive as possible to concepts and ideas, right? Like, I know that I don't know everything, and I'm not trying to be the dictator of A3C or the czar of this experience. Like, I'm really trying to be the best advocate. Like, if anything, A3C, like, I'm a managing director, but I'm also just an advocate for what happens here.
Yeah.
And through my experiences, I'm uniquely qualified because I've managed artists, you know, like, I've been on tour, I've signed record deals, I've managed producers. So I actually know
You could speak the language.
Yeah, but yeah. I know like how freaking hard it is when you're starting off. Like that's, and again, that's what I loved about artist management and producing music production companies. 100% was entrepreneurship. It was like, yeah. Yo, what are we doing tomorrow? Like, how do we get the next fan? How do we build a sustainable business out of this? Like all that stuff was, and then it's also like what I love about the music industry is it's so tied into the technology. Like it is, and when I say it's a disruptive industry, I say that through the lens of technology because you can't separate the two, right? Music's made through technology, it's delivered through technology, it's monetized through technology. It literally is sound waves.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because of that, every time technology changes, the music industry shifts, right? So when Facebook launches and MySpace goes down, the industry shifts.
Yeah.
Instagram has shifted the industry. Spotify shifted the industry. And then all these, you know, I would say thousands of small tech ventures that are just like shifting it in small ways, whether it's like, here's a cool new tool to, you know, better manage your creative process, or sound kits are now being sold this way, or you know, BeatStars, you can sell your entrepreneurship. I mean, all these tiny little things that are changing the way that the business works. I'm not an expert in other fields, but that's a pretty crazy place to work. Like it's a pretty crazy industry to work where you could wake up 2 days from now and be like, oh wow, everyone's using this tool now.
Yeah. I mean, shit, look on the artist side. You've never had artists break in such a big way, also in such a short period of time due to YouTube, Spotify. 100%. I mean, look, SoundCloud. How many rappers and artists have come through SoundCloud?
And then now, man, like stuff that we're not even on, like TikTok and Musical.ly,
yeah,
and all these other platforms and that are changing the way music's discovered and consumed and even how it's monetized. I mean, that's been, you know, the hardest part is monetization, because essentially now you've got a product that is ubiquitous with free. It's just like the value of a song is essentially nothing other than your time. I tell people like, yeah, you're not looking for someone's money anymore. You're looking for someone's time.
Yeah.
And you have to understand the value of someone's time. And it's like, hey, listen to my album. It's like basically saying like, can I have 30 minutes of your time? It's like, no, you can't have 30 minutes of my fucking time. You can have 2 minutes.
Like, yeah. You know, better make that shit work in 2 minutes.
And if I like the 2 minutes, then maybe we'll talk.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, what I think is super cool about kind of your mindset on it. Most people that have had a successful brand for 15 years, in a sense, feel like they're established, right? Or feel like, here's who we are. You think and speak on such a startup mentality as if it's still like, how are we going to make this shit work?
100%, man. I mean, I think part of the nature of an annual event and just tweaking so much and trying new things. I mean, this year, the event and experience is going to be so much different than last year, right? But also, like, we've set high goals. Like, we still grow. You know, we've been growing 20% a year the last 2 years. Like,
it's amazing.
We're not trying to rinse and repeat, right? Yeah. We're trying to, like, so this year with the new partners, it's like, yo, what can our next step be? Like, what are we doing with the brand, and how do we infuse technology in a meaningful way, and how do we, you know, bring new experiences and new value to this city, but also to this community that we built?
And those strategic partnerships, kind of what was the thought behind that, kind of developing those this year?
Yeah, so after this last year, a few things. One, I think I just hit like a personal level of like, yo, we're getting to our 15th year. I've been doing this for a decade. A lot of the partners that I mentioned that we'd started the business with were kind of inactive. You know, they're all on to other things full time. So really, I looked around the room and like, okay, my partners in this aren't really in this actively. And also, like, I also felt like A3C can be something really, really big. We can continue to grow it, but slowly, and it can kind of continue to be what it is. But I also felt like, you know, Atlanta's going crazy. People love what we do, but we do it, you know, for a community that we've established. Like, this could be so much bigger. So it's with that mindset that I was like, yo, I want to bring some new, I just want to bring some new energy into the room. I want to find people that have a passion for Atlanta, for community, for culture, for technology, and talk to probably a dozen folks that I just like had met throughout the years that I knew were passionate about A3C and the culture. And then when talking to Ryan and Paul, it was just like, we talked the same language, meaning we're all passionate about the same thing. We all shared a passion for community. We all had developed our own communities. Entrepreneurship was a common thread we were all passionate about. So, and then Atlanta, like, we all just wear Atlanta on our sleeve. Like, and to me, I was like, yo, like, y'all are, you know, we, the three of us would be a deadly combo. Like, we should do this. Yeah. So,
and for those that don't know who Ryan and Paul are, what their businesses are.
So Ryan Wilson, co-founder of The Gathering Spot, which is a membership co-working space, but really a community and event space, in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's going on 3 years now. And then Paul Judge is a CEO of Pindrop and co-founder of Tech Square Labs. I said Tech Square Labs? Yeah. Just a big tech investor. And just, again, I think also like a bridge between Silicon Valley and Atlanta. Like,
yeah.
Has raised a lot of money and brought, you know, has a portfolio of dozens of tech companies. So it's just a, I would say, an evangelist for the Atlanta tech community as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this year, what are you most excited about? I know you have the partnerships. What are some new things that people would see at A3C?
Yeah, man, I think the, like, we are focusing the same energy we did on the festival grounds main stage as we are on our conference center main stage. And just to kind of parallel that, like, you know, booking Wu-Tang and Lil Wayne, like, that's a lot of work and energy and putting in marketing campaigns and how do we get the deals done and stuff like that. And we're trying to put that same level of energy and thought and passion into the main stage in our ballroom. And our ballroom in our conference is going to be 3 times as big. So we really want to have powerful conversations with really cool people where people leave and be like, that was awesome. We're also building just new, I can't speak on some things
because
they're not done yet, but I would say we're building dedicated spaces for different experiences that I'm really excited about because I think that's going to be just a heightened experience for some of the folks that are coming out. We are going to be adding film component this year, film streaming, film and TV. Technology, again, is going to continue to be infused in what we do, and that's going to show itself in, we're having some cool conversations right now, but it's going to show itself in a couple different ways, experiences and breaking technology and launching new technology ventures at A3C. And then I think the experience that we're producing on the music side is just going to be heightened, but also, like, you know, the selfish part for me is like, it's actually what I like more. Like, I don't love the festival, so, you know, like, my heart was never there.
Yeah.
I just don't like to stand outside for 10 hours. So I'm like, I would love to go to a fucking show and be in a really good energy. And that, I always feel like hip hop was better in inside a space,
smaller
crowded,
space, yeah.
Good sound coming from SU 365 or 360. And just, so I'm excited about getting back to producing some really cool experiences and venues. And then throughout the year, man, we got to figure out ways we can continue to connect people and build content and provide people with value.
Yeah. So there's a lot of conferences, festivals, things like that. One, how do you define yourself? Are you a conference? Are you a festival? Are you an experience? Are you a community event? Because you're not like everyone else.
Right. I think we're like, there's a few ways to say it. I think we are a gathering and an experience.
Because you invest into people is what I love, right? It's like a lot of people could invest into artists and talent, but you invest into the people and the experiences and the human connection.
Yeah, 100%. No, I mean, in name, right, we're a festival conference, but if you look at it, we're no more a festival than, you know, anything else. And I think that name is just ubiquitous with like an experience now, right? There's like a tiny home festival, I think, happening like in the city right now, which is basically a gathering of people is kind of what festival is. And then conference, to me, is just what, the way we describe the learning element. But yeah, like, I think the takeaways at A3C are just experiences. It's just like, you know, it's the pop-up or the private dinner or the surprise performance or this, you know, all these little cool things that happens throughout the week.
Nice. So you've done a lot of stuff, right? What's next on your list? Are you working on any cool other things that you could speak on? Because I don't think you're the type of person that's ever content with one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, like, A3C keeps me really busy.
Yeah.
I'm super head down, especially with the new partnership. I think there's a whole new opportunity for us to develop a new type of business. I think this, you know, I think this goes back to, like, my entrepreneurship mentality, but I say every year is year one. Because
I love that.
Nothing is taken, like, we don't take anything for granted, and we don't ever want to say, let's rinse and repeat, so we did that, now let's grow upon it. We actually say, like, if this was year one, what would we do? With what we know, with the partners we have, with the elements we have, what would we do of year one? So we're not trying to scrap it, right? We're like, yo, some things worked really well. Let's continue to build on that. But we don't take anything for granted. We're not trying to rinse repeat. So this year there are a lot of changes. Physically where we are, some on the team, some how we processes. And for me right now, like as the managing director, like I'm managing through that process and want out of this year for us to come as strong as we've ever been, the best experience we've ever given people, but also like from a process side. So I'm working internally on the business as well.
Yeah. Nice. It seems like new energy this year.
Yeah, man.
New excitement.
100%.
Very cool. So for those that, you know, the one thing I always want to do is takeaways, right? There is a lot of people that, especially young kids, they want to get into the music business, don't know the first step, don't know how, they're overwhelmed. They may want to be a festival creator, a conference creator, a curator in your sense. What is the one thing that you want people to kind of walk away with? Like, if they're listening to this and I'm a young kid, old, it doesn't matter what age, and I need that inspiration to say, fuck it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to take it, I'm going to go for it. What would you say?
One, you got to like, you got to jump, right? Like, you got to start. And I think a lot of anxiety about where to start is what stops people. We talked a little bit about that, but like, you got to start. So, you know, what upsets me, a lot of artists, like, man, I'm sitting on a bunch of music, I'm sitting on a bunch of stuff. I'm like, is it good? Like, yeah, it's great. It's my favorite stuff. I'm like, well,
put the shit out.
Yeah, like, you got to get it out, man. Like, and it's funny because in the entrepreneurship world, take out of music, a lot of people have like great ideas. And this is one thing I learned in entrepreneurship. Like, I got a great idea. I just don't want to share with anyone because I don't want to steal it. I'm like, man, you got to get your idea out there because you don't know who's going to connect on it. And if you're just like, man, how many people are like, I got a great idea. I want to have a business I want to start. I just don't want to tell anyone about it because I'm afraid they're going to steal it. I'm like, one, that person's busy. Like, they're not going to like listen to your idea. I'm like, that's the one.
Yeah.
And for the, you know, the 1% of the time it happens, you know, you probably weren't going to start it in the first place. But you, for ideas and music and careers to start, I tell people you have to talk about it. You have to be out there in public. So with on the music side, you have to put your music out there. You have to let people know you make good music.
Yeah.
And it has to be presented well too. So that's another thing, is like, invest in yourself, right? A great song, a great album, a great video isn't done for free unless you're actually super creative. And I think sometimes you can get stuff done for really, really cheap if you're a creative. So, you know, get stuff out there. And the invest in yourself part was like, sometimes you do need to spend that $100 on mastering or mixing your project. You do need to spend, like, don't cut corners on quality, because at the end of the day, if you put your heart and soul into it, but you didn't invest in like the little things to get it done, it's going to show, and you're going to be upset. Like, why didn't this work? I love this song, or this song's great, or this, you know, I love this, but like, yeah, but the album cover looked like shit, or the, you know, you didn't mix this down. It could have sounded better. You put so much energy and effort, a year of your time recording it, but you couldn't spend $500 to mix it and master it or something.
I think that's a great point. I mean, you can't have people invest in you if you're not investing in yourself.
Yeah, man. You got to be your first supporter. And then actually the next step is, if your friends don't mess with you, if you can't find, you know, we talked about friends being managers, but a big part of that is like, yeah, who's going to be your manager when you're starting? Who's going to be messing with you if not your best friend or a friend of yours? So like, that's why in music, so many managers are friends. One, it's a very personal job.
Yeah.
You are literally spending all the time, and your revenue and life is wrapped up in this person. So if you don't love that person and their music, then you're not going to be a very good manager. Also, then you got to be a day one, man. You, like, you got to have seen this journey and value of the person. So I think that's why, like, in music, we talked about a little bit, but like, why managers are good friends, because that position is so, you know, that job is so personal.
Yeah. Amazing, man. Well, look, I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah.
For those that want to follow you personally, the festival and conference, where can they find you, where they can get it?
Well, don't follow me. I'm not
like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't follow me. Follow the festival. On Twitter, it's at A3C. On Instagram, it's at A3C Festival. Follow us on LinkedIn. We're starting to put some more like quality videos up.
Nice.
From last year, putting some stuff out there. And then tickets and passes go on sale soon. And
nice. And the show this year, October?
October 8th through 13th.
Okay.
We're going to do some cool stuff on the bookend. So Tuesday and Sunday, we're going to do some fun stuff. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is kind of the meat and potatoes of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mike, man, appreciate you coming in. I know you're a busy guy, man. So anytime. Thank you for coming in, man. And congrats on the success.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Once again, I'm your host, Justin Epstein, and thank you for listening to Culturation. As always, this show has been powered by Premiere.